start putting. And then obviously you have to hide the transcribed bit so you don't look like a fool. So the purpose of that conversation is to think about what you might do as a mentor and to offer some thoughts and insights for people who are new to mentoring or have come up with interesting and diverse ideas about how we might support our trainees. There is definitely no pre-described answer that we're looking for. It's an opportunity for us to talk about our mentees and trainees and think about this as a stimulus for those sorts of conversations. I'm going to do a hard break so that we finish at four, no matter what, even if it's mid-sentence. And then we will try and share all the resources that you can read at your own time outside of the meeting. So we asked for five basic questions when thinking about that particular scenario around what you'd ask the trainee, what you might do next, what sort of questions you might ask. Any thoughts or anybody willing to offer us some insights into where we might start with this particular scenario or interesting comments that they thought or things they noticed? Raise your hands or just shout. Thank you, Barry.
That's all right. Otherwise, we'll sit there for ages.
Yeah, you will. Somebody's got to go first and poke the bear.
One of the things that we said is that we thought, I'm sorry if I don't do the questions in order, but we thought that we might look at some team planning. So working with them to plan a lesson. And alongside that, using something like a plug and play lesson plan. So it has specifically, this is the kind of task that I want you to do, and this is how long it needs to take. So that it was less of a free-for-all about what a student might try to put into a lesson. So just giving them a bit more guidance about the type of activity to go through with them. So the most important bit out of that would be the team planning, so that you're with them at the time to say, that's a great idea, that's going to take a very, very long time to get through, sort of thing, to help them with their planning.
And what was it that that was addressing? What particular element of the evidence?
The length of time they were spending planning. All three of us remember the days when we were spending hours planning for a 1 hour long lesson. Mm. And the word I use is overcooking it. So you just spend so long tweaking and tweaking and tweaking that it ends up being an absolute mess because you worry about all the bits. So it was to help them with the length of time that they're spending planning, and to help them also with appropriate materials, because it does say further down that it was too high level and the students didn't understand the instructions. So that team planning would take care of all of that bit.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Anybody else would like to come and take up the stick? Thank you, David. Oh, wait.
I think we wondered whether they knew kind of the parameters of what they were expected to teach, whether they'd been directed to the specification in the first place. And then obviously whether or not the sort of school's resources have been shared with them. Again, they seem to be reinventing the wheel. They talk about using a spreadsheet to come up with their questions. I don't quite know how that would work, but yes, they're using a spreadsheet to help them with their question sheets. They're clearly designing their own. We felt actually there's probably resources they should already be using.
Yes. And I think it, particularly in the case of this trainee, part of the issue was that they don't know what a good lesson looks like. And if you don't know what a good lesson looks like, it's really hard to plan one. And so they were adopting the Brownian motion of lesson planning and just trying something different, and hoping that at some point, by a process of random elimination, one of them would work. And what's interesting is that you've all come away with the idea that this person needs a bit of direction. They need to stop bouncing around like a cork and actually start swimming in a particular direction. Brilliant. Thank you for that, David. Any other thoughts in terms of the issues that you noticed perhaps and the things that you'd quite like to get in and address? Thank you, Katie.
Hi, part of my question was, actually the question, so in order to help this trainee, they've reduced their hours teaching, so hopefully you can get in and do some of this directed planning with them. How long would you expect them to be reduced timetable before you wanted them to be picking up their lessons again?
That's really good. Yeah, so in this case, the student had, there were ongoing issues that had manifested through the whole of the first placement, and they'd arrived in the second placement in February, or about to go to the second placement in February, and they weren't very close to the profile descriptors in terms of the consolidating practice phase. So they didn't meet the CP phase, and they got put on an action plan, which was specifically a continuing in the phase action plan. And one of the things that they did on that action plan was they said, you're not managing the workload. So for this action plan, which was a 2-week action plan, we're going to reduce your teaching timetable, and we're going to get you to do less, but do it better in terms of the delivery. And the, so in answer to your question, I think a 2-week adjustment in timetable is perfectly within scope. Normally we would want you to accompany that with some sort of trainee support plan or some sort of cause for concern style document that says, in order to address this issue, this is something that we're going to ask you to do. And the trainee in this instance was asked to continue to attend all of the sessions that they would have been teaching, but not to necessarily lead the learning within those sessions. Fabulous. Any thoughts in terms of, we had Barry talking about some team planning and some team teaching and maybe getting them into using, like Dave said, the resources that the school's got. You've probably got some examples of activities and lesson plans and question sheets. They shouldn't be inventing their own. Is there any thoughts there about the balance between how much a trainee should be doing in terms of just taking what you've got and delivering it plug and play, and how much of it, what's your expectation in terms of them making changes to it or adapting it? Have you got any thoughts about what's reasonable? Thank you, Joe.
So I'm struggling a tiny bit with this with my trainee. We have very much a plug and play. It's all on the shared drive, but we have moved some of the lessons recently. So I have been obviously teaching my class since the beginning of September, so I know what they've learned. So sometimes the do now questions come up and I have asked them to make sure that they have already learned them, and they're sitting plugging away going, well, what's acid plus alkali? And the kids are like, well, we've never done that before. And then there's a couple of things that, like, it says, please fill in the Google form, because it's been from when we've been teaching online. So it makes me think, how much planning have they actually done? But then the content's really good and what they're talking about's great. They just haven't quite fine-tuned the resource. Now, I don't know if that's a big problem, because all he does is goes, oh, well, we're not doing that bit, and move on. So I think it's difficult, isn't it? Because you don't want them to spend hours doing it, but then at the end, the other side of it, you don't want them to just be doing, just not making it their own, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Thank you, Joe. Any other things? Barry, go on.
My student is in a similar situation. So I've provided access to everything I've got for all of my lessons. And she was really, really nervous about changing something that I'd done. So she was worried that because I was like the expert in the room, I'd given her this thing and she wasn't sure about something and wanted to change it, but she didn't want to change it and offend me. So we've had quite a productive conversation this week about, actually, my God, I'm learning so much stuff from having you here. You change it, because you might come up with a far better way of me doing it. But until I had officially given her permission to do that, she was really wary about doing it and offending me. And I just thought that was worth sharing, because if other people are in the same situation, that might be why your student teacher is not changing something, because they're a bit worried about doing it.
Yeah. Thank you, Larry. And I think going back to the point that you made before about what would we expect a student to do? So if you've got resource, if you've given them a lesson and you've given them effectively a run through of the lesson and all the activities, it would be reasonable to expect the student to have done the activities. I think if they're trying to do the calculations for the first time live in front of students and they're making mistakes, then we should definitely be picking them up on that. It would be reasonable for them to have done, if it's a practical lesson, the practical lesson before. It would be reasonable for them to have checked the links and watched the video. No, so all of those things, I think you can give them comment on, even if they haven't made any changes at all to the lesson. But it is also an expectation that they are delivering a lesson to that group of students, not to last year's group of students. And so they should be making change of that. And they should, and it could easily be part of one of your weekly development meetings where you say, can you show me how you've adapted this particular lesson to those particular students and where those adaptations are? That's fine. So I think that those conversations will be really helpful conversations to have in your weekly development meeting following this review with this trainee, where you're saying to them, right, this is going to be the focus. You're going to use my lesson. You're going to adapt it to these students, and you're going to explain to me, you're going to give me a 10-minute presentation explaining how you've adapted the lessons in the weekly development meeting. That's your challenge. I think that seems like it's supportive and not unduly punitive, and also developmental. And in this scenario, there was they had co-parallels classes. So the trainee could go and see another teacher teach the lesson 2 hours or so before they taught the lesson. And what they said was, first thing you're going to do is you're going to try and replicate this lesson. Here's the resources. Here's the lesson plan. Just try and do it straight. And then the next time you do it, we're going to do it with some adaptions. Because all of those symptoms there, running out of time, not having it, they're symptoms of a bigger problem, I think. And hopefully in your discussions, you were saying, it's not that your time management is poor if you can't get your lessons in. There's something else. There's something more significant around the way that you're teaching and the assessment information you're gathering about students. So do we think for this student, there's enough concern for us to put them on a cause for concern? Or is this a support plan student? Thank you, Caroline. And this again, there's no pre-described answer to this. I'm interested in what your thoughts are as to where the line is between what we would do with a support plan and what we would do with a cause for concern. Thank you. We've got Vegan and we've got Georgina in the chat. Let's go with you. Thank you. And then Vary will come back to you.
I would say, because it's February, I would say go with a support plan initially so that there is room for them to use that second placement to maybe make some further developments in a different setting. Mm. Once they get to their second placement. But then obviously once you're in your second placement, it's quite a short amount of time in reality from getting there to getting settled to then the end of the placement.
Yeah.
So just making sure that the second placement is aware of the concerns that they're coming in with so they can be supported right from the outset.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because otherwise it's going to take 2 weeks for the school to the second placement to pick up the issues that you've identified in that first placement.
Mm.
And it's absolutely right. If they're going in March, they've really only got 5 weeks before they have to demonstrate that they can teach a 15-hour week. And this trainee is a long way away from teaching 15 hours in 5 weeks' time. So I think you're absolutely right. Telegraphing that to the handover placement with some really clear ideas about what they need in terms of support would be really, really useful. Any other thoughts or reflections in terms of things that we've noticed? I think the only thing that I wanted to throw back at you is that the trainee's reflections are a bit, well, they're not very reflective. They're the classic, I'll do better. So I would suspect that part of the issue here is that they're not evaluating their own practice very robustly. And until they can do that, they're not going to be able to make very rapid progress. So there are the two issues. There's the planning, there's the timing, there's that we need some support in that practical delivery sense. But also, until the trainee is able to articulate their own ideas for what they need to do to improve, their trajectory is going to be very slow. So that coupled with the things that you mentioned there, Georgina, about the timing and the placement swap and all those issues, we might say this is a trainee support plan case. We might say it's a cause for concern. It would depend entirely on the trainee, the school they were going to, and all those issues. But something there in terms of the handover, I think, in terms of the support of that. Thank you very much to everybody for coming along, and hopefully short and snappy and a bit more chatty is more productive than us sharing lots of information with you. I will send the link for the chat. I will send the slides with the information in to you and your various emails. We've got some people joining us at 4 who are doing a 4 o'clock showing. So if you have questions, I will be here to answer those questions. Thank you, Katie. If not, we will see you in the next term. And I hope that your craziness of mocks and exams is not too much of a frazzle for you all. And I'm just going to stop the recording. There we go.